we present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Now, you guys and broads, you all knows what a private eye is, don't you? Every triller you reach nowadays is a private digger's the hero. Not that I'm complaining. No, I like these private eye stories. You know, my favorite writer is still Raymond Chandler. Yep. He always describes the hero something like this. The private eye was good-looking enough to pick up a dame with a sense of class. But he was tough enough to swap punches with a power shovel. He could act like a boar lizard, and he could backjack like Fred Allen, only better. You got the idea, guys, Ambrose. Well, private eyes is what the McGill's all about tonight. It all started when this Raymond Chandler type geezer, he sticks his head into my cab.
Say, how would you like to make $100 a day?
Above what I make on the cab?
Sure, above what you make on the cab.
Okay, mister, I'm listening.
The deal's this. My name's Barlow, Bill Barlow, and I'm a private eye. I want you...
No kidding, you a private eye. I've always wanted to meet one. It's nice knowing you, Mr. Barlow.
Oh, thanks. Now, I want you to drive me around New York for the next couple of days or so, and I'll pay you $100 a day retainer, and you charge me the same as any other customer for the mileage I do during the day.
Hey, that sounds okay, but how busy is we going to be driving around New York?
Pretty busy, I can assure you.
Mr. You has got yourself a deal. Hey, is you on a case right now?
Sure thing. You drive me to the corner of 14th and 5th, and I'll tell you all about it on the way.
For 100 fish a day, Mr. Barlow, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Look, you don't have to tell me about the case you're on if you don't want to.
No, I think it's best you know all about it. You'll know then what I'm looking for.
So what is you looking for, huh? Hey, how about one of them beautiful, crazy, mixed-up blondes you read about in them detective stories?
You hit the nail right on the head, Mr.
Edwards. Chuck Edwards.
Ah, Chuck. Chuck. Well, I'm looking for a crazy, mixed-up blonde who murdered her husband 6 weeks back. Or at least arranged for him to be disposed of, shall we say.
Say what you like. It don't worry me. Is she beautiful, huh?
Makes Ursula Andress look like an also-ran.
Hey, must be some looker. She really knock off her old man?
Oh, she didn't, but it's my guess she got Cass Butcherty to do it for her.
Wow, Cass Butcherty. Say, he's the biggest hood in New York, ain't he? Hey, this ain't gonna be dangerous, is it? Because my life is not insured, and I ain't made my will yet.
No, no, this won't be dangerous. Just a plain surveillance job.
Not so plain, according to what you says. Makes Ursula Andress look like an also-ran. Ha, ha. Boy, I'm going to enjoy this.
Well, this blonde, Mrs. Murdoch's her name, by the way. She received the insurance money on her husband's life 10 days back. Now, I figure she'll have to pay off Cass Butcherty if my hunch is right about him pulling the job. So we trail Mrs. Murdoch until she meets up with Cass, then snap. I catch them together with my telescopic camera here.
And what happens if Cass Butcherty catches us together with his telescopic rifle?
I may look young, but I've been in this game for over 20 years. He won't. For the money I'll get from the insurance company, if I can pull this job off, I can retire. So don't worry. I have every intention of being very careful.
Okay, mister. Here you are at the corner of 14th and 5th. Hey, is she standing at the Osworth Hotel?
That's right. Wow, that's a bit of luck. Here she comes now.
Wow, that's a bit abroad. Gee, wow. Gee, wow. Oh, boy. Gee, wow. Hey, you wasn't exaggerating when you said she made Ursula Andress look like an also-ran. Gee, wow. Gee, wow.
Yeah. Okay, oh, concentrate now. We follow her in the cab. Keep about 50 yards behind her, but whatever you do, don't lose her.
Lose that, baby? Not on your life, brother.
Okay, that's fine. Now, she usually turns to the right and gets picked up by a guy on the next corner in a big black sedan. We'll follow them. He's not Cass Butcherty, though.
It'll be a pleasure, Mr. Barlow.
Coming, Cap Titan. Coming, Cap Titan. Coming, Chuck.
Hi, Myrtle, honey. Chuck here.
Hi, Chuck. I got a fare for you, honey.
No thanks, Myrtle. I'm too busy following this blonde. And boy, does she make Ursula Andress look like an also-ran. Bye.
Goodbye, Chuck Edwards.
For 3 days and 3 nights, guys and broads, this private eye, Mr. Barlow and me, we trails this blonde Mrs. Murdoch. And the more you looks at her, the more stacked she gets. Wow, gee. Boy. Wow, gee, oh boy. Okay, Bill Barlow and me, we sleeps in the cab and we takes turns in doing the watching. And you know something, guys and broads? I think I'd have paid him $100 a day. Oh boy, it was a pleasure on the eye. Oh boy. Meanwhile, however, Myrtle is doing some investigating on her own.
Come in.
Excuse me, but are you Barry Jason, private investigator?
That's what it says on the door of my office, and that's who I am. Why don't you sit down?
Oh, Thank you.
Now, what can I do for you, Miss, or is it Mrs.?
Miss Micah Smedley.
Well, what seems to be the problem, Miss Smedley? Oh, before you tell me, you care for a drink? I got a quarter here in my desk and a couple of glasses.
Oh, no thanks, but you do if you want.
Not on my own, thanks. Never drink alone. I like some other private investigators I know. You were saying?
Well, it's about my fiancé.
Your fiancé?
Yeah. I think he's got another girl.
Okay, let's start from the beginning, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Right, what's your fiancé's name?
Chuck Edwards.
Yeah, and how long have you been engaged?
Do you mind if I don't answer that?
Well, I've got to get the full picture if I'm to take on this case. Why, have you only been engaged a couple of days or so?
No.
Well, how long is it?
17 years.
17 years? You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Chuck Edwards and I have been engaged for 17 years.
That's too bad. Say, what makes you think he's got another girl?
Well, Chuck's a taxi driver, you see, and I'm the girl who tells him where to go. If there is another girl, I'll tell him exactly where to go.
Well, hold on, I don't quite get that. Your fiancé is a cab driver, but what's that you do?
Oh, they're radio cabs, you see, and I tell all the cabbies where their fares are and where they have to go.
See, go on.
Well, 3 days ago, I called Chuck to tell him I got a fare for him. And he told me he was busy following Miss Blunt.
Say, you don't cry, Miss Medley. You sure you won't have that drink?
No, thank you, Mr. Jason.
Well, blow your nose on my hanky, if you are.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Jason.
Well, that's better. Nothing like blowing your nose. Now, you were saying that you called your fiancé and he said he was busy following this blunt. Here, have the hanky again. Now, I realize this is very painful for you, so just go on when you feel ready.
Well, I called Chuck a couple of times after that. Each time he said he was busy with this blonde. Well, after that, he switched his radio off, and I haven't heard from him for 3 days.
3 days? That's bad.
Well, that's not all. I usually see Chuck every evening after work. You know, we go to the movies, maybe, or watch television together, but he hasn't been home for 3 nights.
3 nights? That's worse.
You think so, Mr. Jason?
I'm afraid it doesn't sound all that healthy.
Oh, you think he's sick?
Not sick, exactly. Sounds to me if he's suffering from blonditis. So, you want me to trail your fiancé and find out if he's involved with his blonde or not?
Exactly.
Have you any idea who she is?
No, I'm afraid not. Old Chuck said, well, she made Ursula Andress look like an ulcerate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Jason.
Call me Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Here's your hanky.
Thanks. Well, all we've got to go on is that your fiancé maybe is involved with a blonde who's a real looker. Not much, I'm afraid.
I'm not a wealthy woman, Mr. Jason, and I don't...
Barry, please.
Oh, well, I'm not a wealthy woman, Barry, and I don't know how much all this will cost.
I charge $100 a day plus expenses, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I'm afraid not knowing where to start looking for your fiancé, the expenses could be rather heavy.
Yeah, I see. Would your expenses be about $100 a day, too?
Not more than that, I'm sure.
Okay, $200 a day. Could I hire you for a couple of days?
Sure you can. That should be long enough.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Jason, you're hired.
Barry, please.
Yeah, okay, Barry, you're hired.
Right, let's shake on it.
Right. Oh, dear. There goes all the money I'd save for our vacation.
Thank you.
You know, Barry, I will have that drink. And do you mind if I keep your hanky?
Say, how would you like to make $25 a day?
You mean above what I makes on the cab?
Sure, above what you makes on the cab.
Okay, Mr. Englishman.
The deal's this. My name's Jason, Barry Jason. I'm a private eye.
Gee, I've always wanted to meet a private eye. See, which one's the private one, the right one or the left one?
Yes, well, I want you to drive me around New York, and I'll pay you $25 a day plus what's on the meter.
Okay, you got yourself a deal. See, you on the case right now?
That's right, and I'll need a great deal of assistance from you.
Don't worry, I'll give you any persistence you want.
Thanks. Now, I'm looking for a cab driver called Chuck Edwards.
Not the Chuck Edwards.
Why, you know him?
Do I know him?
That's what I asked.
Does I know Chuck Edwards? Does I know Chuck Edwards?
Well, does you, or do you?
Are you asking if I know Chuck Edwards?
That's about the gist of it here.
Do I know Chuck Edwards? No, I don't know Chuck Edwards.
Oh, pity. I thought from the build-up that you knew Chuck Edwards.
Yeah, I knew Chuck Edwards, but I don't know Chuck Edwards. There's a subtle difference, you see. Of course, I knew Chuck Edwards. We shared an apartment for 10 years together, but I don't know Chuck Edwards. After living with him for 10 years, you'd have thought I'd gotten to know him, but I didn't. No, sir. Funny how you don't know the people closest to you. You think you do, but you don't.
Okay, you knew Chuck Edwards, but now you don't.
That's it exactly. Very clever of you, Mr. Manson. I knew Chuck Edwards, but now I do not.
It's Jason, actually, but what made you stop knowing Chuck Edwards?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Oh.
3 days ago, if you'd asked me if I knew Chuck Edwards, I would have said, me, Red Kowalski, do I know Chuck Edwards? Sure I does. We share an apartment together. But today, if you asked me if I knew Chuck Edwards, I would say, me, Red Kowalski, do I know Chuck Edwards? No, I do not know Chuck Edwards.
Okay. I want you to help me find Chuck Edwards.
Why didn't you say so in the first place instead of all these tricky questions like, do you or did you know Chuck Edwards?
Right. Where do we start looking for him?
I don't know. You're the private eye, not me. See, you never did tell me which was the private one, the right eye or the left eye.
Calling Cap 21. Calling Cap 21. Come in, Red.
Hi, Myrtle. Red speaking.
Say, could I have a word with her?
Yeah, go ahead.
Say, Myrtle, it's Barry Jason here.
No.
I've just hired Red Kowalski here to help me find Chuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that myself. Say, Myrtle, could you call all the other cabs to keep a lookout for Chuck's cab?
Oh, sure, Barry. That's a great idea. And if anybody sees him, I'll call you in Red's cab.
Right. Bye, Myrtle.
Bye, Barry.
Bye, Myrtle.
Bye, Red.
Okay, Chuck Edwards, with every taxi in New York looking for you, you're not going to stay hid for long.
While the private eye Bill Poirot and me is trailing the beautiful blonde Mrs. Murdoch. Wow, gee. Oh, boy. Wow, gee. Oh, boy. Yeah, Red and the private eye Barry Jason is trailing me and the private eye Bill Poirot, if you see what I mean. One of the other cabbies spotted my cab outside the Oswald Hotel, where we was waiting for Mrs. Murdoch. Wow, gee. Oh, boy. Wow. Gee, oh, boy. The other cabbie tells Myrtle, and she, of course, tells Red. So as this Mrs. Murdoch... Wow, gee. Ah, forget it. You know what she looks like by now. As she is walking down the road, there is my cab 50 yards behind, and Red's cab 50 yards behind me. The conversation in my cab goes something like this. Say, Mr. Barlow, you know it's been 3 days and three nights now. I don't think this Murdoch Dane's ever going to meet up with Cass Butchery.
She will, she will. What are you complaining about anyway? You made yourself $300 plus what's on your meter.
But I haven't shaved for 3 days, and Myrtle's going to be worrying about me.
Myrtle?
My fiancée, though. Can I call her on the radio?
I prefer you to keep it switched off. This job requires 100% concentration. And while you're talking to your fiancée, Mrs. Murdoch could give us a slip. No, I prefer you to keep it switched off.
Okay, you're the boss, but I'm going to have some explaining to do. Hey, this could go on for a month. I'd have a long beard by then, and Myrtle wouldn't recognize me.
Yeah, but think how rich you'll be.
Yeah. Ah, that's the point. $3,000 plus what's on the clock. Gee.
Uh-huh. She's got into that black sedan again.
Yeah, yeah. Then she'll go to that sidewalk cafe and have a knickerbocker glory. Then she'll go to the beauty parlor for a couple of hours, then lunch at Sardi's. This could just go on forever. Then.
Just think about your bank balance.
Okay. Chuck's been following this blonde walking along the sidewalk. And even from 100 yards, she makes Priscilla Westwater look like an also-ran.
Priscilla Westwater? Who's she?
A girl I was at school with.
Good-looking, was she?
No, ugly. She was the ugliest girl in Standard 2. Yeah, that blonde certainly makes Priscilla Westwater look like an also-ran. Yeah, even if Chuck has been following her, doesn't mean he's thrown Myrtle over for her.
Well, why hasn't he called Myrtle to tell her what he's up to?
There you has me beat, Mr. Jensen. Still, I'm not a private eye, am I? See, I notice you do most of your looking through your right eye. You keep the left one almost closed. Is your right eye your private eye? And the left one you use for public occasions?
Their name's Jason. No, a private eye uses both eyes.
Oh, I never knew. I thought they used one eye for private and the other for public. You live and learn.
Okay, let's cut the chatter and concentrate on trailing Chuck. That's what we've been paid for.
Wait, let's do just that. Say, if we see Chuck and this blonde carrying on together, how are we going to prove these? It'll be Chuck's word against ours.
I'll take a photograph of them with this telescopic camera I've got here.
Is that thing a telescope? You put it to your private eye, the right one?
No, it's just a camera with a special lens that brings things in the background into the foreground.
I know what a foreground is. That's where you have the Tunnel of Love and the Big Dipper and the Dodgem cars.
No, that's not a foreground. That's a fairground.
Foreground, fairground. What's the difference? So you're going to take a picture of Chuck and this blonde together at the foreground? On the Dodgem cars, maybe?
I'm going to take a picture of Chuck and this blonde and present it to Myrtle.
As a present, you mean?
Well, sort of, yes.
She won't like that sort of present, not Myrtle. Now, if it was a picture of Chuck and me on the Dodgems, that she'd like. But Chuck and a blonde on the Dodgems, no, sir. Very jealous is Myrtle. No, I should forget about the idea of giving Myrtle a present of a picture of Chuck and this blonde on the Dodgem cars. I don't think it'd be appreciated.
Calling Cap 21. Calling Cap 21. Come in, Red. Hello,
my little Red speaking.
Could I speak to Barry, please?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Mr. Jameson.
Jason. Hi, Myrtle. What can I do for you?
I just wondered how you was getting on.
Fine. Chuck's trailing this blonde who's driving in a big black sedan, and we're 50 yards behind Chuck. Sorry, I can't lend you my hanky from here.
All right, I got it with me.
Hold it a minute. Chuck stopped, and so is the black sedan. The blonde's getting out and going into our bank. Boy, this should be interesting.
Hello?
yeah, it certainly was interesting, Geisa Brotz. The blonde changes her routine, she goes into this bank. 10 minutes later, she comes out again, and she's carrying this parcel under her arm. Well, we guess it's the payoff for Cass Butchery, because she gets back into the black sedan, and she gets dropped off at the sidewalk cafe where she orders, yeah, you guessed it, Geisa Brotz, a Knickerbocker Glory. A few minutes later, she is joined by this mountain of a guy. You guessed it again, Geisa Brotz, Cass Butchery in person. We is too far away to hear what they are saying, and we is too busy taking pictures of them together. But I think the conversation must have gone something like this.
Mrs. Murdoch?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gee, I had no idea you were such a looker. Gee, whoa, whoa, boy, gee, whoa, whoa, boy.
Shall we get down to business?
You got the money?
It's here in this parcel, all in used notes.
All of it? All $20,000?
All $20,000.
All right, I'll count it back home. Look kind of suspicious if I did it right here.
I guess it would. See, what guarantee do I have that you're not going to ask me for more?
None whatsoever. What do you take me for, a blackmailer? Murder, yes, but Cass Butchery would never stoop to blackmail.
Oh, that's nice to know. It's been a pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Butchery.
Mm, the same could be said for you, Mrs. Murdoch. Say, what are you going to do with the rest of the insurance money, the $80,000 you've got left over?
Oh, well, I fly to Europe tomorrow. I stay there a couple of years and have myself a ball. Then mosey back to little old New York when I stop being front page news.
Well, look me up when you get back, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
With my brains and your looks, we'd make quite a combination. Gee, I had no idea you were such a looker. Gee, whoa, whoa, boy. Gee, whoa, whoa, boy. Say, what are you going to do right now?
I'll go back to the Asworth. I'll take a cab.
Right, I'll phone you there once I've checked the money. Bye, Mrs. Murdoch.
Bye, Cass Butchery. Hey, taxi! Taxi! Hey, taxi, you deaf or something? Taxi! I'm so sorry. Taxi! Taxi! Are you deaf or something? I've been shouting at you across the street for the last 5 minutes.
Sorry, Mrs. Murdoch, this cab is taken.
Mrs. Murdoch? How'd you know my name? And what's that guy doing in the back seat with a telescopic camera? You spying, are you?
No, ma'am. No, of course we ain't spying. No, you see, we're just taking pictures for True Romance and Pictures.
You're spying, okay? Wait till Cass Butchery hears about this. Cass! Hey, Cass! Cass! Come here quickly! This is urgent!
Oh, boy, this sure is a fine mess I got myself into. Oh, but she was even better looking close, too. Gee, wow! Oh, boy!
Fine fight you turned out to be, Chuck Edwards. Not only does you stay away from home for 3 days a night, you spend your time chatting up this blonde broad. Wait till Myrtle sees the pictures my friend Jerry Basin has taken of you and that blonde broad with his telescope. Very digested they are. Just wait till she sees them. Bye.
Come back, Ray! Come back! Oh, boy, a fine mess you got me into, Kowalski. I gotta get those pictures back before Myrtle sees them. Red has the pictures of me and Mrs. Murdoch, Geisa Brotz, so I is chasing him to get him back before Myrtle sees him. Bill Barlow, he has the pictures of Cass Butchery and Mrs. Murdoch, and I sees in my rearview mirror that they is chasing us. Of course, they wants to get the pictures before we hands them over to the police. So there you are. Three cars, Geisa Brotz, is chasing each other across New York.
Well, let's forget about chasing your friend in that other cab and get these photographs to the police station.
What? And that Kowalski show the pictures he's got to Myrtle? Not on your life, Buster.
It's your life for those photographs, Chuck. Cass Butchery and Mrs. Murdoch are catching up fast. They'll start shooting soon. See? They've started.
Okay, hang on, Buster. I'll catch up Red. I'll get away from that Cass Butchery.
That cab driver certainly knows how to drive.
And so does Cass Butchery. Watch this.
Oh, don't you think we should drive to the airport and catch the first plane to Europe?
With you, it'd be a pleasure, but not until I've got that camera and not until I've settled my score with that cab driver.
Yeah.
Listen, Chuck's my buddy. I know him for 10 years. I think I'll stop and hand over the pictures to him. I don't want to bust up his romance with Myrtle.
Look, Myrtle's paying me a lot of money for these pics.
If I paid you the money Myrtle would have paid you, will you give me the pictures instead of Myrtle? I don't want to bust up their romance.
Yeah, but Chuck's obviously been playing fast and loose with that blonde.
I think there's been some mistake. I want to talk to Chuck. I'm going to stop. Right. There we are. Now let's wait for Chuck. Oh, here he comes. Good. He stopped. Now let's go and have a chat.
Hold on. There's another car coming up real fast. Looks like it's chasing Chuck.
So it does. I hope he can stop in time. I hoped, but I hoped in vain. Say, the guy in the same car shooting the Chuck.
And the fellow in Chuck's cap's firing back.
Come on, Mr. Johnson. Bring your gun and your telescope. My buddy needs help.
I've run out of ammunition, and you guys have got me outnumbered.
Right, Butcher D, throw your gun out of the car.
Yeah, Butcher D, throw your gun out of the car.
Yeah, Butcher D, throw your gun out of the car.
Now get out of the car, Butcher D, with your hands up.
Yeah, get out of the car, Candlestick Maker D, with your hands up.
Now you, Mrs. Murdoch.
Now you, Mrs. Murdoch. You okay, Chuck?
Yeah, but my cap is in need of a little attention, but I'm okay.
Good. And you? You'll manage to hand these two criminals over to the police?
Yeah, I'll manage.
Good. Okay, Belly. Let's go.
There you are, guys and broads. Cass Butcherty, he got himself put inside for life. And so was Mrs. Murdoch. I'll tell you something. The insurance company, they were so happy to get back the $100,000. You know what they did? They paid the bill for the repair of my cab. Bill Barlow, yeah, he got his reward. He retired from the private eye business. Oh, and Barry Jason got one, too. So he never charged Myrtle for snooping on me. Oh, yeah. I nearly forgot, guys and broads. Them pictures of me and the blonde. Well, somehow, the two cameras gets mixed up, you see, because they was the same make. So the police gets a picture of Mrs. Murdoch talking to a rather attractive taxi driver. And Myrtle gets a picture of Mrs. Murdoch talking to a great big mountain of a guy called Cass Butcherty. How about that, huh?
Taxi is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Goodman. George Carellin plays Chuck Edwards, Red is Tony Jay, and Myrtle is played by Pat Saunders.